Well, hello and welcome back to the Sensory Reformed Podcast. Pastor Zach here with you this week, continuing the series in the practice of Christian hospitality. And this week I'd like to focus on some more modern models of hospitality in order to reflect upon the way that our forefathers have practiced this biblical command of hospitality and think about how it might manifest itself in different times and in different contexts. So what we're going to do today is to think first about John Calvin, and then a little bit about an observation regarding John Wesley, and then move into a couple more that are in the last century. So let's begin with John Calvin. So at the time of the Reformation, people are oftentimes, you know, unaware of. They think it's like a time where you're just having some ivory tower discussions and some, you know, theological conclusions that are really detached from day-to-day life. But what you really have is a time of great societal upheaval. As you have one region becoming Protestant, another region becoming Protestant, then returning back to the Roman Catholic faith, and these regions becoming officially defined by those religions, you have a lot of upheaval. You have a lot of people being relocated. You have a lot of persecution, a lot of religious war. This is also a time of the plague and much death, martyrdom. And so not only do you have people who are relocating all across modern-day Europe, but you also have people who are left as orphans and widows. Geneva was especially hit by this because it was bordering France and was French-speaking. And so then in France was very much affected by the wars of religion and by the way that persecution was occurring, and Protestantism there was spread very rapidly in France, but it was opposed by the sword. And so the natural place for many of these refugees to go was to Geneva. It was across the border where we would speak of modern-day Switzerland. It was French-speaking. And you could get there and you would have religious safety as a Protestant, as a Reformed Christian. What then happens, you can imagine, in Geneva is that these Genevans then begin to receive all of these French, and this begins to cause a great drain on local resources, which had to be invested to take care of thousands upon thousands of refugees. Furthermore, these new refugees spoke French. They had different skills, and they offered labor, and so then that threatened to displace the old school Genevans, and then the old school Genevan traditions were also very much threatened. Some things that we might think of in our day, as many people become worried about immigration, the loss of traditions, the loss of work, and the economy being flooded with workers. Something was much more amplified back in 16th century Geneva. Well, John Calvin looked at all of this, and of course he wanted to ensure that displaced Christians, that these strangers and refugees were being taken care of. And one of the things that he noted was the ancient model of hospitality had, even by his time, been lost. He speaks about how inns, or what we might call now hotels, but they weren't exactly hotels then, but inns, now supply the place of accommodation for strangers, whereas in the past, people would take those strangers into their homes and show hospitality to them. And so this is one thing that he was saddened by, was that Christians in Geneva were not just taking Christians into their home and caring for them, but instead they were expected to find accommodation in inns. He also urged the civil government and the Genevan citizens to respond to this refugee crisis by caring for them. And as he did that, he really stood in line with the church fathers. So a few examples of this from his writings. First, from Matthew chapter 25. He quotes and says from Matthew 25, verse 40, "So far as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren," Christ speaking there. And Calvin comments and says, "Believers only are expressly recommended to our notice. Not that Christ bids us altogether to despise others, but because the more nearly a man approaches to God, he ought to be the more highly esteemed by us. So in other words, as Calvin notes from Matthew 25, this is referring especially to Christians, and Christ is commending us to our care. He's commending Christians. And the ultimate reason is that the Son of God, quote, holds them as dear as his own members. By calling them brethren, he confers on them inestimable honor. So again, something we see very much in continuity with the church fathers. Likewise, in Hebrews 13, he gives some other observations, saying, this office of humanity, or hospitality, has also nearly ceased to be properly observed among men, for the ancient model of hospitality, celebrated in histories, is unknown to us or unobserved by us, and inns now supply the place of accommodations for strangers. But then Calvin goes on to encourage Christians in his time to resume that ancient practice, and he says that not mere angels are received in our time, but Christ himself, when we receive the poor in his name. And so he stands in line with the church fathers, so too does Luther. A great quote from him here, from his lectures on Genesis: God himself is in our home, is being fed at our house, is lying down and resting. That is, when we care for persecuted believers, God is with us, God is fed, God is sleeping in our home. Well, moving on now from Calvin in the time of the Reformation, again, a time of refugees, of strangers, sojourners being displaced and the need to care for them, we can think a little bit about John Wesley. And this is coming especially from Christine Pohl as she analyzes and makes some observations in her helpful book, Living Into Community. She observes that the time of the Reformation and what Calvin did was Calvin and other reformers were especially calling upon the civil government to care for refugees and calling on particular individual Christians to do that in their own particular homes. And her observation is that, in a sense, the church as institution became separated from the practice of hospitality, whereas in the past there was a more institutional approach to hospitality by the religious, the local churches and the church community really worked together to establish institutions and to care for others. But she notes that Wesley's band societies, they created almost, you could call it like a small group study, or almost like a church within a church. They showed hospitality within those institutional groups. Whereas, other parts of the Reformation and the Reformation tradition then continued to separate the practice of hospitality from the institutional church or Christian institutions. And so I mentioned that to put that in our minds as something that we should be mindful of, cognizant of who is it, the question of who shows the hospitality, who cares for the others. Is it just the civil government? Is it just the individual Christian? Is there also a place for the institutional church as well? The last place I'd like to turn here is to some examples within the past 100 years. First, some places where monasticism was adapted, just to again give us some models for this. And these, you can call them again adaptations of monasticism. There are a few that are Protestants and some that are Roman Catholic. They have some similar things, similar values. So, for example, some voluntary poverty. They oftentimes live on donations, these kind of groups that occur. So for one example of a Protestant is Le Brie. It's a society that was established by Francis Schaeffer. And Le Brie began in Europe, but has been founded across the world with different houses. And these different houses that were established were really places of study, places of discussion and prayer, a place where people could come and have their questions answered, a place, homes that are primarily intellectually rigorous and philosophical. But not only did people gather to ask questions and express their doubts, and sometimes atheists would be converted, at other times struggling Christians would have their questions answered, and then perhaps they could go into the ministry or just go resume ordinary life with their with a greater foundation of Christian faith. But not only would they do that with study and discussion, but they'd also work at these homes, and it would contribute to the life of the home. So again, that's an example of labri. Labri just meaning shelter. Another example of this is from a Roman Catholic background called l'arche, and that is French for the ark. And while it was founded by Roman Catholics, it is an ecumenical house movement, started in France, but then has gone around the world as well. And that these homes are really founded not so much for like the philosophical inquiry, but for those who have intellectual disabilities. And within these homes, there's a community model of caring for one another. So people living side by side, it's not a sort of a thing where the intellectually disabled are made to feel as if they were less than others, but living in a sort of a family environment and being in relationship with one another. And one of the ways of describing this, and one of the main things that l'arche conveys about themselves, is that people with disabilities have gifts, and you need those gifts. So it's not just that we care for those with disabilities, but those with disabilities also care for the workers there too. A final adaptation of monasticism I would point out is something called the Catholic Worker Movement. And this was inspired by the Benedictine Order. They established houses of hospitality that they can call family homes, and they view hospitality as a sort of resistance to society's modern value system. And so, you know, various ways that the community, religious community life has continued from the ancient model of the monasteries into our day to get us thinking. A final place to turn, a couple of modern books, one by Rosaria Butterfield, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, and also a book called The Art of Neighboring by Pathak and Runyon. And one of the things that these two books get across is that our actual neighbors matter. We don't need to be just forming, you know, religious institutions and societies, but if that's not for you and God's not calling you there, then one thing he is calling you to do is get to know your actual neighbor. Rosaria Butterfield comments that God doesn't get the address wrong. And so whoever is next to you or across the street from you, well, God's put them in your life for a reason. And you are called to take seriously the calling to love your neighbor. When we think about loving your neighbor, Pathak and Runyon point out that we oftentimes try to make this an abstract concept because, of course, everyone in the world is our neighbor. But then what ends up happening is that as we conceive of everyone in the world as our neighbor, we end up forgetting about the people who are actually our next door neighbors. And if anything, we should be most hospitable toward them. Rosaria Butterfield, in her book, while it might be a bit more extreme than most might undertake, she demonstrates, again, in an extreme way, how you might structure your life where you actually expect and plan to be hospitable. It requires that we make room in our schedules. It requires that we budget. It requires that we're not surprised when someone from across the street or next door comes over to our home and has a meal with us, but rather that's the ordinary way of living our lives. She points out as well that it's important in those contexts to have prayer and scripture reading, to invite your neighbor to be part of your family worship that happens around the dinner table, and also that you expect your guests to help out, and they expect to contribute as well. Whether they're bringing food, or whether they are being asked to help fold laundry that might be on your couch, whether they're helping clean up the table afterwards and do some dishes, such is an appropriate way and an encouraged way to think about practicing hospitality. Remember, it's not Martha Stewart entertaining, but it's treating people who are not your biological family. You make them feel like they are. And so one way of doing that is to ask them to help out around the house. And so a couple books that would be worth considering. Again, Rosaria Butterfield, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, and Pathak and Runyon, The Art of Neighboring. Well, I hope that these more modern examples of Christian hospitality are helpful to you as you think about how God is calling you to think about this importance, this necessary Christian practice. As we will wind this series down next week, as we think about some summary tips for how we as Christians can be better engaged in this practice. This is the Cincy Reformed Podcast. Pastor Zach with you this week, pastor of Ascension Reformed Church. This is also being sponsored by the church plant we are overseeing, Christ Reformed Church in Florence, Kentucky. And we ask you to check out both of our churches. You can find our other episodes of Cincy Reformed Podcast at cincyreformed.org. Thanks again for joining us this week. Look forward to next. Bye.